I'm looking out the window at drizzle and fog, the temperature hovering in the upper 30s. Many trees are budding, some almost ready to burst out in leaves, but I can't see a single leaf yet. Today is supposed to reach the 50s, but nights will be in the 30s and temps will bounce around, lows in the 40s and highs mostly in the 50s, but sometimes in the 60s for the next couple of weeks. When Russ and I lived in Madison, Wisconsin, these weather conditions were normal in early and sometimes even mid-April, but up here they're typical of early to mid-May. As much as I love balmy weather, I'm always happier with spring on the cold side up here. Yes, warblers arrive sooner when it's warmer, and they're ever so much easier to see and identify before leaf out, but they fuel their migration on the tiny caterpillars emerging on new leaves. If they arrive before the leaves do, they could be extremely stressed for calories. I much prefer insectivorous migrants to trickle in, as conditions are likely to stay comfortable for them, than for any of them to jump the gun and arrive before the last frigid conditions or late snowstorms are over. An early yellow-rumped warbler showed up on March 18th. That little guy spent quite a bit of time at my suet feeders. Unlike most other warblers, yellow-rumps can feed on berries and other items as well as insects. I've been gone for a week, but since I got home on April 28th, I've had about a half dozen yellow-rumps every day. They don't compete with the four dozen or so pine siskins taking Niger and sunflower. I suspect at least one pair of siskins is nesting in one of my conifers, but haven't been able to confirm it. Unless the tiny nest is at eye level, it can be very hard to find, and even if I do locate a nest way high up, seeing the contents is impossible for me. On April 10th, a most unexpected insectivore turned up on Park Point, a Carolina wren. I charged out the moment I got the text message from Kim Eckert. When I arrived at the spot, he made some of the rolling trill calls I love so much to hear. But by the time I got my phone out, he'd stopped doing that and was singing his full song. A whole group of birders were gathering, making clean recordings tricky, but I did get one reasonably good one. The bird kept his distance, but what a thrill. While I was gone last week, Russ watched for BB and saw him most days, and I've seen him at least once a day since I got home. I saw a brown thrasher at Park Point on April 14th, but haven't noticed any singing in my yard yet. Within the next 2 weeks, newly arriving birds will explode in color and song on Peabody Street. Thrashers and catbirds, house wrens, Baltimore orioles, rose-breasted grosbeak, scarlet tanagers, and ruby-throated hummingbirds. The first oriole and hummingbird tend to appear right about Mother's Day, but I impatiently or optimistically set out a hummingbird feeder this morning. The Hummingbird Central migration map from this morning shows them well into Minnesota and Wisconsin already, but not quite up here. Whenever he arrives, the first are invariably males, I want him to feel welcome. I put out some orange pieces in case an oriole jumps the gun, too. Sparrow migration has been rather pitiful in my yard so far. Juncos are still the most abundant, but I haven't had any days with more than 25. Most years I have at least a few days with 50 or even 100 by now. Every year is different, and even as some years we see more migrants than other years, and as some species slowly dwindle, bird watching is always like that proverbial box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, but it's certain to be sweet. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.